Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. But, that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got not the combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast too.
Welcome back to the Mountain West Connection podcast. It's been a couple weeks since we've been here. We did do our fancy mid-season show on MWCConnection.com, but apparently, what did you say, 80% of myself, Jeremy, and very little of you, Chris?
Yeah, which is kind of a shame. I mean, because, you know.
We dressed up for the occasion.
I was dressed up for the occasion.
I apologize. I don't know what happened. I put an audio version, but I think.
It was like having an online interview for a job that nobody cared about.
I've actually done one of those before.
Oh, God.
Not even,
I'm totally sorry.
No, but what's even worse, I wasn't even speaking to a person. It's just answering these questions in the video.
That's
it was awkward and weird and frustrating and nerve-wracking just because, not that it's new, but it's just kind of like, I get their point. They want everybody to see it. Why not, my opinion, as we throw off topic in the first 10 seconds, why not do an interview with a person and then even online, but then let anybody else watch it because that was their plan.
So what you're saying is it's exactly like doing a video cast with me.
No, frustrating at times maybe, but no, it's not so good. So yeah, we apologize for the show because we had some people who wanted our hot takes on Hawaii versus UNLV, which,
oh my goodness,
man, that came down to the wire.
Nolan Cohorst.
Yes, but we are on to week 8, previewing our slim week, I should say, of games. 4 matchups this week, so depending what we decide, what else to talk about, this year should be under an hour. Is that safe to say?
I think that's safe to say.
Are we going to discuss any college basketball today, or are we still strictly just football, as the opening says?
No, unless there's – is there anybody who has Midnight Madness this week?
Yeah, I don't think so. I just know we're doing the top 100. Mike Rutherford is. That's about – Boise State got made number 95. I don't know.
Okay.
Polls come out, whatever.
Let us talk about something extremely important, though.
College football, right?
Well, not just college football, but the playoff selection committee.
Yay? Is that the proper response?
Yeah.
You know what? Restraint, jubilee?
I don't have too much of an issue with it.
It's what it is. The only issue I have, because here's, we already knew the names, essentially. There's a big hubbub over Condoleezza Rice on there. Which, I don't know much about what she knows about football, so that could be a questionable call. And I haven't read too much about what, besides she likes Stanford and stuff. And she's been to a few big football games. But there's a big mix. I'm just wondering, okay, what do you think is the oddest name on there?
Ty Willingham. You want somebody who's not only not really qualified to coach, but probably not really qualified to select people, to select good teams. I would go ahead and say Tyrone Willingham.
I was going to say Mike Tringese, or Mike Tringese.
Why? Because Big East is horrible?
No, because he killed the Big East and was terrible in charge.
This is true. Well, I thought it was what's his face? Mike Oresco, who was in charge of killing the Big East.
Well, I could say Trent Geese is also part of it. He was there before. Boston College, Miami, Virginia Tech. It all started there. No, but it's whatever. It's a decent list. There is I don't know why Archie Manning's on the list. That doesn't really make sense. He went the old. You know what I mean? What's the point of him being on there? Does he watch college football? I know he played college football. Is that the requirement? Oh no, that's not even the requirement I'm looking for. But what do you think about his position? Not that we know too much about what he does, but do you care? You're fine with everything, I guess, so it doesn't matter.
I'm fine with everything. let me go ahead and ask you this. Who do you think was the best person to be named on the committee?
Let me take a quick look here. Tom Gerstent, is that how you say his name? Gerstent?
Gerstent.
The former head of March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
Who's
the best?
Why not? He knows how to set these things up. Why not?
I mean, he knows how to set these things up, which means he'll be a good job in
keeping people in line. And because there's a bias, because when you're picking however many at-large teams are in basketball, what half to fill with the 30, 35 at-large teams, the committee's almost the same size. He's got to keep people in line, because there's always going to be bias. Pat Hayden, current, as I mind you, USC AD. Oliver Luck, current West Virginia AD. Tom Osborne, current Nebraska AD, or former AD, but close enough to Nebraska, Clemson AD. You know what I mean? So it's like there's going to be a bias, and there's got to be some guy to try to keep those things in line.
I will go ahead and say I think the best decision on here is probably Barry Alvarez.
I was going to pick him as well. He's up there as well. He's probably
you want to talk about somebody
guy,
who's,
I guess, but yeah.
You want to talk about somebody who's extremely knowledgeable about college football. And yeah, he's a Big Five athletic director. But, I mean, this is a guy who knows college football. And not only knows college football, but knows how the game is still how the game is still played. I mean, look at him taking over for one game coaching the Rose Bowl last year and leading them.
So I guess you're fine. I guess Tom Osborne would be up there for you as well.
Tom Osborne is up there.
Besides up there in age? Ooh.
Yeah.
He's getting up there.
I would say I'm not a huge fan of Condoleezza Rice being on there. But I'm not really, you know. I'm not really huge on Dan Radakovich's. Well, I think you could have chosen probably a better ACC representative.
Like who? Guy from Florida State. Would you want us Duke because they're not very good at football? They may let something slide because they don't know what they're talking about over there.
Duke. I would say, you know what? I would say Rutgers is. Athletic director.
Rutgers is New York City's football team?
New Jersey's football team, right?
I say New York City because they always want, that's why the Big Ten wanted them. Some people, I heard a good thing about Condoleezza Rice, that she might be more of the fan voice, kind of, a little bit, if that makes any sense.
But I mean, if you want a fan voice, honestly, and this is, of course, us being totally biased, but if you really want a knowledgeable fan voice,
have a fan vote.
Have a fan vote. Not even just have a fan vote. But, why not have, Bruce Feldman on the committee?
They didn't want to. Any current guys didn't want to do that. Because that's why the AP broke away from the BCS. They don't want to make the news. They want to report the news.
Or even have an SB Nation guy on there.
Well, there's talk about, because I remember, I think Stuart Mandel or Andy Staples, one of the guys from SI, because they want a numbers guy on there. And they're like, why not consider Bill Connolly, Matt Hinson, or the guys from any other guy from Football Outsiders, or Jeff Sagarin, or Jerry Palm, guys like those, numbers guys. Even though Matt Hinton's not a numbers guy, but he knows him, he does well enough in that category to kind of know what's going on and look things differently. But you got it's just the same old outside of Like, there's the Air Force Lieutenant I don't know if he's a Lieutenant General or former Lieutenant
General. He's a three-star general.
Current Superintendent, Air Force, Michael C. Gould. He's on there, and it's not really sure what he brings to the table besides being an non-power guy. GA football team, played football at Air Force, but not a ton. But I just don't really... I get the basketball. Here's the thing. Until it's bigger, this is going to be a really big deal. Because in basketball committee, there's so many teams. Who cares who's the... Unless you're Jim Beheim, what's his name? Syracuse, Jim Beheim. He's like, we should have been in over VMI or something. It's like, come on. You're not going to win the title. Any team that gets in is going to get the title, has a chance. Even as deep as 10 to 12 teams. Well, I'd say maybe at least 8 teams have a real shot to win the title. So until this thing expands bigger, the committee will be less and less of a story. With they're picking 4 teams, and probably, think about it, really 3 teams, because whoever wins the SEC is going to have a spot no matter what. So you're really picking 3 teams. And maybe even 2, because Big Ten Pac-12 champ will probably be in no matter what regardless. So you're really picking, 2 teams? Out of how many that have a shot? That's the thing about the committee. It's like, who's on it? There are people on here, they know what they're talking about, but there's always that bias, because it's a money deal. Because they're not just picking these 4 teams. Well, I guess they're picking more teams than what I mentioned, but they are picking the playoff, but then they're picking the Peach Bowl, the Rose, all the bowls that are not part of the playoff that year. They're picking, am I correct? I don't have the numbers in front of me, I should know, but aren't there 4 other bowl games, like the big money bowls? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, I think so.
Correct. I think there's 16 teams involved in this thing.
Yeah, there's 16 teams involved. It's a 4-team playoff. But the other 4 bowls that will not host, or the other 6 bowls that will not host the playoff, are still big money bowls.
Yeah, so it's what? There's Rose, if I recall really quick, because we should have this up. But you got the Rose, Fiesta, whatever the Sugar Bowl is being called, New Orleans, the Cotton Bowl, Peach Bowl, and Orange Bowl. Is that right? 6 bowls in? Am I correct on that? Did I leave anyone out?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, because, if I go... Yeah, Orange Bowl, Peach Bowl, Cotton Bowl, whatever New Orleans is going to be called. Yeah, 6 bowl games. And then, that's right. So there's 12 teams. wait, 12? Is that right? I'll look it up in a second here. But they're not just picking these 4 teams. They're picking who's going to get in. Like, who's going to go to the Rose Bowl the one year it's not part of the playoff. Who's going to the Sugar Bowl or the Orange Bowl. And there's no real set. I'm 1 step ahead of myself. What's going to be the pick when you're choosing these teams? Like, if USC is on the fringe, or Wisconsin, or not even USC with Pat Hayden, but say they have Oregon. Say, let's say, like this year, they can get Oregon in the title game. Or no, let's go back to last year. They had Oregon in, and Stanford on the fringe is going to get in. What if there's a 3rd team, or the SEC, who's the 3rd team right there? Who would stop? There's not an SEC. Well, Archie Manning, I guess, SEC representative technically from Ole Miss, but what's going to try to get them from pushing to get a 3rd team? Because not only is the league going to get money, but your school is going to get a big chunk of money, because there's no limit on how many teams can get in this thing, right?
Totally.
So that's where I think, because picking the 4 teams is hard enough, but getting beyond that, they're going to release a poll, because Bill Hancock is, he's like, we want this thing to be as transparent as possible. We're going to release a top ranking list, cumulative, not individual poll basis. Like, really? If you want transparency, I don't care how many times they vote. I think they're voting every other week the last half of the season. But make them public. What's the big deal? You're on a committee. You're making big money decisions. People want to know who's going to be getting $20 million or not.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So what do you think? Because there's no real criteria about, because there's no computer system. There's no, I don't know what formula they can use. It's just whatever they want to do. But basically, it's like, here's what it says, the team selection method. Unlike the BCS, which uses a formula based on a combination of computer rankings, human polls to select teams, selection committee members for the new playoff will have flexibility to examine whatever data they believe is relevant to inform their decision. Among head-to-head, strength schedule results, conference title wins. So it's like, that's fine. I don't care about that, but I want to know who people are voting for, wouldn't you?
Yeah, no, totally. Although Condoleezza Rice has said that she's taking strength of schedule into account in her votes.
Here's the thing with strength of schedule. We could probably do a whole 10 shows on this, but you play so few games. How can you really take into account?
Right.
Like, we know the SEC is good because we watched them play and they won so many national titles. Their top teams are all really good. But do we really know? Because when they play 1 week where they have FCS week or Sun Belt week, how do we really know? Because they just beat up on each other for the most part. Now, I'm not just badgering the league, but you know what I mean? Like, when out of conference play, when there's when you're going to play so few games and out of conference, nobody's going to go out and schedule USC, well, by example, but like nobody's going to go out of schedule, say, them, just say Texas. They're not going to go out and schedule Washington, Ohio State, and Miami in 1 year. That's not going to happen. That's a good way to tell. But so few teams do anything like that. USC kind of does it. Unless like Notre Dame or BYU have good teams. But that's where, like, what do you think about strength of schedule? Is that really a big – is that something you should hang your hat on? Because nobody really knows with so few games.
I don't think it's something that you should hang your hat on, but I think it's something you should take into consideration.
I think you should, like that Hawaii team in 07, or not even the Hawaii team, the Texas Tech team, when there's that three-way tie. They played, if I recall, two FCS schools, a 1-11 SMU team. I don't recall the other school they played in. I think it's 08, whatever year there was that three-way tie. But I just remember reading that piece about Bill Colony put up, like, what if there was a selection committee during the BCS era? I think it was in the comments, actually. I don't think Bill wrote it, but they're saying about Texas Tech, they should have as much claim to Texas, even. But Mac Brown does his politicking and gets in because he's going to be probably the future governor of Texas maybe one day, possibly. Well, maybe not. He's going to be, you know what I mean? He politician, but when Texas Tech strength schedule, two FCS schools, a bad SMU team, and whoever else that third opponent was, it's hard to tell because that's going to obviously hurt Boise State, Fresno, Ball State, Northern Illinois, Western Kentucky. So, I don't know. And there's also no criteria because we're going to finish up here, and I know I'm dominating the conversation, but there's nothing from what I read because the top team out of the American Mountain West Conference USA, they get the bid for one of the big money games.
Yeah,
no criteria. Like, how do you determine? Is just we think they're like anything else. We think they're the best team, and we go with them.
I guess I still haven't exactly figured it out. Although the American is just so much weaker, it seems that the American is just going to be so much weaker.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! They're adding Tulane next year. Possible.
Oh my goodness, Tulane. Guess what? Guess what? UNLV has the same record as Tulane right now.
Wait, who's that bad for or good for? Or is that just an observation in general?
It's an observation. Both teams are improving. You see
what I'm talking about? They beat East Carolina, so that's a decent win. Tulane did in overtime.
I'm just saying. The American as a whole, yes, the Mountain West is having a down year. But South Florida's loss to McNeese State is much worse than San Diego State's loss to Eastern Illinois. Guess what?
One of the better teams in FCS. They actually lead the FCS in total offense.
No. Who? Eastern Illinois? Or
yeah, they're up there. State? Eastern Illinois.
Yeah. Well, and guess what? San Diego State has actually gotten a heart, beat back since then.
Mm-hmm. I guess USF, American has a 5-0. They have a 5-0 Houston team, but that's a soft 5-0 in my opinion. Louisville's on their way out. Rutgers is decent, but they're on their way out. So I don't know how they're going to do it. That's my main thing. Is like there was a conference call I could have been a part of, but I was unable to do so yesterday, the other day about it, or teleconference, whatever they're calling it these days. But I'm wondering, like, is it? I assume it's just going to be weep like them. So we're going to pick because how can you like for this year is a good example. Let's just say, for example, Northern Illinois goes undefeated. Fresno State goes undefeated. Fresno State missed a game. They're 12-0. Northern Illinois 13-0. How do you decide for one spot? Because it's not like you can pick. It's not like you're like, oh, they'll get a spot anyways. It's not like you're picking between, say, the number 3 SEC team and the number 2 Big Ten team to go to a bowl BCS bowl game. They're both probably going to get in. It just depends where.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of what I thought. So we've discussed this at length and kind of at length. Do you like the Air Force guy selection on there? Does he bring anything? Because that's what we kind of wanted the conversation to be about at the beginning, kind of have representation outside of the traditional power leagues.
I think, he did the interview with the one Mountain West guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it seems like he's going to bring more of a West Coast lean at least. But I think he's definitely going to, help the Mountain West or at least bid for the Mountain West if we have a team up there in the top four.
Yeah, because getting top four is going to be tough because, like in the thing with Bill Connolly wrote from 98 to now, it all depends on if, say, that first Utah team in 04 or that Boise team in 06 or Hawaii in 07, or all the teams that made a BCS bid that were on the cusp, none were in top four, and the closest, I believe, were... I know Boise State, when they lost to Nevada because of short field goalpost, right? That was the reason they lost. That team probably could have been top four. What was that, 2010?
Yeah.
It was, sorry to bring that up. I just got to mention that. But
thanks.
It could have been, if they would have won, it would have been.
They were number four. They were number four before they lost.
That team would have been in. And then I guess somehow, because when Colt McCoy saved 1 second on the clock, TCU could have been the title, like, could have been number two. They could have had a shot, but they weren't guaranteed. And then Utah in 08, they ended up, I think, number, they weren't even top five. They're number five or six. Yeah, number five. And who knows if they'd have got in because of, for what, Florida's hot streak at the end. So it kind of depends. I think the big test will be once, if it comes down to it, when it's being at 14, if there's a team that's close, will they give the edge to, say, undefeated Boise State, who does have a good win? Like, say they play a top 10 team. They beat them early in the year.
They play Ole Miss next year.
Yeah, say Ole Miss is good because we got the Robert Kandicham and all the guys coming in there. They're picking up the recruiting. Say they're ranked pretty high. Say two Mountain West teams are ranked, with 12 teams as possible. Wyoming could be ranked next year with that coming back. Like, what if they play three ranked teams, they go undefeated, they beat like some good teams twice in the title game? Who knows? It all depends where you start and where these guys go. So that's what I want to see. That's the first test I think we'll see, because if they can sneak in at number four, then there'll be a chance. But if not, then who knows the first time or ever they'll be in. Because we know in half a decade, they'll ramp this up to 8 or 12 teams. And like I said, for about 10 minutes ago, the committee becomes less of a story when they're picking 12 teams compared to four.
So, right.
Let's move on from that, because that was a long-winded conversation about the playoff committee, which we've known for a while.
So basically it was like an episode of Seinfeld where it was an episode about nothing.
Or It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which is Seinfeld on crack, pretty much.
It might be on crack.
Do you watch that show?
I do.
Okay, yeah, so you know what I mean. I've only seen the first episode of the season. Hilarious. And season 9 is like one of the best episodes ever. That's pretty rare for any TV show. But let's keep it tight. We need to move along here. Next item of business, there's some bowl news, which we'll briefly discuss. So the Mountain West has contracts, or they're working on it, to finalize 8 different bowl games. That's quite a bit. There's only 12 teams, right? They're not adding more teams, are they?
No. Unless there's something that we don't know yet.
Something we don't know, but they're going to have at least 6 or 7 every year. I guess it's good to be with 8 different teams, because if you get a... because odds are, more often than not, as it's proven historically, the Mountain West champion will get one of those big money bowl games starting next year, assuming 12-0 and everything, 13-0, or even 12-1. But the interest, here's the bowls really quick. Let's kind of run down this quickly. It's all the bowls. We've kind of already reported on this before, but New Mexico, here's the bowls involved. The Armed Forces Bowl is kind of a part-time deal. The Idaho Bowl, New Mexico, New Orleans is newish. The Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl, Poinsettia, Sheraton, and this is my favorite part of this, even though it's a secondary position, but the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl. It's in Phoenix, or Glendale, I'm not sure where they're playing it after they're playing
it. No, they play it at Sun Devil Stadium.
Oh, it is at ASU, Tempe.
Yeah.
But that is a Big Ten, is it still a Big Ten, Big 12 matchup?
It was a Big Ten, used to be a Pac-10, Big 12 matchup.
I think it's now Big Ten this year. But the thing about that, it's actually a decent bowl up there. It's not a lower rung bowl. It's not like it's Pac or whatever, number 7 versus number 7, like the stupid Las Vegas Bowl, which gets Pac-12 number 15, it seems like.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. There's not really any clear indication. I'm assuming that would be, they would take a spot, which makes sense, because if you can get 3 teams in the playoff and the big money bowl games, or even 2 teams, you're 2 rungs down. The opponent may not be great, but... let's say, for example, whatever the opposite of the team is. Let's see here. I'm pulling it up right now. But say the one league gets too many teams there, they're not enough bowl eligible. The other opposite side is probably going to be a pretty good matchup. Yeah, it's Big Ten and Big 12 right now. So you're right. The Pac-12 is no longer in business there. It doesn't say the ranking team. But that's my most favorite or the best option. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would say either the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl or the I would still say that the Las Vegas Bowl is a very entertaining bowl and not necessarily a great matchup, but is definitely, you know,
but then, I think higher profile. This could be a better matchup, though, I think.
Oh, yeah. This could easily be the better matchup. It depends on what the position for the other side is going
to
be.
I think it's, I'm sorry, I'm trying to pull it up here, but it's not working quite well.
Okay, so I'll tell you. The Insight Bowl is what the Buffalo Wild Wings
Copper, used to be Copper called. Bowl.
Copper Bowl in the originally. It used to be Big 12, number 4 versus Pac-12, or Pac-10 rather, number 5.
Wasn't a WAC part of this years ago too?
In the very, very, very beginning stages. Like, I think while it was still known as the Copper Bowl, the WAC had a hand in it.
Sure, and actually had the Fiesta Bowl as well before Arizona and Arizona State left the WAC. All right, here we go. I'm pulling up right now the matchup. Geez, this is so exciting here. But I don't know. It doesn't really say as I pulled. I'll do double task here, kind of read and talk, which can be difficult sometimes for people trying at home. As that's why we stumble half the time. But it's all it says here, like the Mountain West is contracted with the Wild Wings Bowl, Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl to replace. Like I said, apparently we are wrong. If we would have read the rest of the release, we would have not had this goose chase of trying to find what we're looking for. It's Big 12 and Pac 12, and they'll replace one of those teams during any year during the next 5 years through 2019 to take their place. It was not eligible. Plus, Mountain West will work with the other conferences and ESPN TV to fill any backup slots. So, This is a necessary thing because if you get three teams in the playoff or something, you're going to need spots to fill for bowl games because there's extra bowl games. There's going to be that Bahamas Bowl, which
I was about to say. I'll tell you what bowl I want a hand in. I want a hand in that damn Bahamas Bowl.
I think I misspoke when I put in our link post the other day. I don't think the Mountain West is involved in that as I originally thought it was, which is a shame. Are you stopped talking because the Miami touchdown? Is that why?
Yes.
Yeah. I knew that's why because the score there. But yeah, the Bahamas Bowl. But basically, you got to have a backup, and if you can get into these big bowl games that are a pretty good matchup and everything, why not do it? So, but last bit, which I think actually probably trumps, maybe not trumps as, it's more intriguing in my opinion here. The Vegas Bowl still gets the first pick. However, anything beyond that, it's like the old bowl days. Let's make the best deal no matter what, best matchup regardless.
Which I think is what it always should be.
Unless you're Wyoming, sorry. Because there's years there were a while back, they're like 10-2 and got shut out of a bowl game.
Wyoming does not get nice things ever.
But that was when there was 25 bowl games or something back in the late 90s. But I think that's a pretty good idea. Do the best, get the best match. I don't care if geography, ticket sales, whatever, but I want the best matchup.
Oh, remember? I mean, I'm telling you, remember the 2010, what was it, the 2010 Poinsettia Bowl? Or was it, no, 2009 Poinsettia Bowl, where it was, you know, Boise State versus TCU.
Correct, and that was also the Armed Forces Bowl, and I think it was Armed Forces Bowl, they played the year before as well. But that Poinsettia Bowl was a top 10 matchup, I believe, is that correct?
Yeah, was a damn good matchup.
Yes, that was a mini rivalry, that could have been bigger, but went awry. But that's one of the great example there of making a deal happen. And then one other thing really quick, it's kind of odd, because ESPN owns, not that they broadcast, they own like the New Mexico Bowl, the New Orleans Bowl. That's why there's that mention. They'll work with the Mountain West to fill in a backup spot. But I guess 2 years out of the next 5 years, the Hawaii Bowl and Las Vegas Bowl could open up. I don't understand what it means by opening up. Maybe other teams, but then teams will go to the Armed Forces Bowl instead to face a Big Ten opponent. But that doesn't, it's not clear.
Yeah.
What do you think opening up means? I remember reading about it before, but I don't want to take the time to do it now.
Honestly, what I honestly think is that
the champion can go anywhere, I think that's what that means.
Yeah, so if the champion goes anywhere and it's one of those situations where the champion does make a big money bowl, then everybody else behind that, it won't. The Las Vegas Bowl won't be the number one pick anymore. They'll just play the best matchup.
Ah, that from makes there. More sense. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. That's probably when they'll invoke that clause. Like with the Rose Bowl, when they took TCU, the highest rated non-BCS team gets to go one time during the 4 years, like, might as well get out of the way the first year. That makes a lot more sense. I was kind of thinking random, like, why would you want to... The one, my other example would be, say, like what BYU did and Boise State's starting to do now, going to Las Vegas Bowl every year. They'd rather bypass that and go somewhere else instead.
Yeah.
So, all right, on to the games. After
25 minutes of talking.
28 minutes. You were close talking.
Oh, my goodness.
Should we announce the big news now or wait till we get to the actual game?
Yes, let's go ahead. Let's go ahead. Let's wait.
We'll wait. People probably already know, but it is breaking news on NWCConnection.com, and we'll be through the weekend. First game is the Border War. Colorado State Rams host or traveling the 90-mile, if that, 55 miles to wonderful Laramie, Wyoming at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. your time out in Southern California. The Border War. It is on TV this year, because I know folks were upset about the last year. It's on Root Sports. And if you live outside of the region, you can watch on the Mountain West Network online, which is pretty cool over at Campus Insiders. That's nice. But who do you got in this game? Let's just start out to it. Who's going to win?
Or should I'm going to go ahead and say Wyoming.
Do you know one fact that no team has won 5 in a row in like 50 years, and Wyoming has won the past 4 Border Wars?
Really?
Yes.
So you're basically saying that it's Colorado State's turn.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying historically, it's only happened, I think, one other time.
I'm
trying to throw you off your game here.
I don't care. I think Wyoming's just Wyoming seriously is just a very strong team this year. Brett Smith is hot. Sean Wick is hot. I mean, they're both
everybody.
Yeah, their playmakers are doing well. And once again, outside of the fluke, what the hell loss to Texas State? This team could possibly beat Fresno State and Boise State.
Ooh, that will be interesting. That's in 1 month, 3 weeks away. Boys, they go back to back. They actually have I was going to say a good stretch, but San Jose State's proved to be not much this year. But yeah, they'll be down the road. But they are 4-2. They are still undefeated in Mountain West play. So remember that. They are still in position to win the Mountain Division. Or they can beat Boise State. But Colorado State, here's the thing. You hit it right in the head. Wyoming has the playmakers. Robert Heron, Dominic Ruffin, Brandon Miller, all the other guys you didn't mention, but Sean Wick, Bryce Smith, I was mentioning everybody. You might as well. Their offense is amazing. And the concern I have, which I think you probably have the same concern, is Wyoming needs to stop Capri Bibbs running the ball. Slow him down. Not let him get 85 yards, or even anybody. The running game in general, Capri Bibbs, Donald Alexander, Christian Wilke. They need to stop that whole unit, which is pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know. It's...
What, you're going to change because of the 5-year streak or something?
No. I'm still extremely convinced that Wyoming... I'm still extremely convinced that Wyoming is going to win this game. But in terms of playmakers, I mean, on Colorado State's side, Shaquille Barrett only had 3 tackles last week.
Against... Well, who did they play? San Jose. Yeah, and their loss to San Jose State after the week
and
before.
And their loss to San Jose. Shaquille Barrett has to be a bigger impact if Colorado State wants to win this game.
And he can be because he has a lot of opportunities. Depends if he's going to be mainly in the pass rush because he'll want to get to the either pass rush or tackles for Lawson. With what I mean, even though Brett Smith throws a lot, look the way he did last week. He didn't throw for very many yards, but he still rushed, I think, for 150, I believe, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah.
Close to 150. So they're not going to spy Brett Smith, but he has a good chance to stop, contain. He'll need another guy to help him out, but to contain what Brett Smith does in the pocket. Whether they're designed runs or whatever they are, they need to make sure he needs to step up and either whoever tackle whoever just make big plays. 3 tackles is unacceptable.
No, exactly.
And do you think there's any chance? Like, what are your chances? How would you say CSU can win the game?
I'm going to say that Colorado State has to limit Wyoming's rushing. I know Brett Smith's going to do what he's going to do. He's going to pass. Colorado State's not really going to be able to stop. But Sean Wick runs. Brett Smith runs. They have to be able to contain the run completely.
That would be correct. Yeah, that's.
I would say the keys to winning this game, Colorado State has to hold Wyoming to under about 120 yards. And if they can do that, and so the split will be that under 120 yards, I'm going to go ahead and say that they have to limit Brett Smith to under 40 yards and Sean Wick to under 80 yards total. So if that happens, I think that Colorado State and Garrett Grayson can have the offense to kind of potentially beat Wyoming on the road. So, where is so right now? Jeremy is momentarily out of the recording space. So while he's going on with that,
jeez,
there's not really too much else to talk about this game, except for the streak. So we'll just move on to the next game, which is at 5 p.m. Pacific. It's Hate Nevada Week, Nevada, Boise State, and because I am in control of the podcast right now, I will say that I hate Nevada, and that Nevada is going to lose by a whole bunch of points. No, but to be realistic about this game,
that makes sense.
So, what Nevada really has to do to win this game is, first of all, obviously not be rattled by the blue turf, which is kind of the most obvious thing. But you really have whenever Nevada comes and plays Boise State, and I know this kind of from experience, it's an extremely it's a little bit more of a hostile crowd than normal. Because of the whole 2010 game, I think because of history that Nevada and Boise State has had in the past, it really does the Nevada. When Nevada
short goalpost. I'll be back in a minute, but short goalpost ruined you, right?
Short goalpost, yeah, right? But when Nevada does come to town, it does bring out kind of the worst in fans, kind of the worst in players. And you just – it's stuff that you have to put up with. And the games have been competitive the last 7 years. 7 years, 8 years. No, I would say the last six or seven years, because the first game between Colin Kaepernick and Boise State, and then since there, that Nevada's just been closing the gap. Unfortunately, right now, Nevada's sitting at 3-3. They have Cody Fajardo. They have Brock Hecking on defense, who, you know, kind of the defense, the front seven really should not, really does not look as good as they probably should be. And let's go ahead and say this. The Nevada defense is atrocious. I have no issue saying that Boise State is going to put up 42 to 49, maybe 50 points on this Nevada defense. The question will be, can Boise State's defense stop Nevada's offense? And really, the thing that you have to look out for is Cody Fajardo will be starting this game, I assume. He's looked pretty good when he's played. I mean, he had the one game where he was out, but then he came back in. And it was a heartbreaking loss to San Diego State, but that was really not the fault of the offense. It was the fault of the defense. You have here. You have Corey Brock?
Okay, I think. That's good. Thanks.
Kendall Brock. I'm sorry. Love you. So you have Kendall Brock, who is, who is done a good job.
Yes, who is he? I apologize. I'm
who is he? Who is he? Kendall Brock is a running back.
Yes, anyway, that's just, sorry, it's popped in after my phone call there. So
thanks.
Good job. No
problem. Go ahead. He averages about 4.2 yards per carry, which is which is good. Along with Cody Fajardo, who runs about half as less because Fajardo is a pass first quarterback. But they have a respectable average. But really, this focus is going to be on Boise State's defense stopping Nevada's offense.
So, do you know what the line is on this game?
I do not. I have not done the lines post yet.
Guess, because you're not going to guess. I'll give you 10 guesses, and you probably won't get it.
I'm going to go ahead and say that the spread is Boise State by 20.
Oh, how do you get so close? 22 and a half.
Holy shit, really?
Yes.
You know what? I was just saying that because of Nevada hate. I did. Wow.
And the over-under is only 60 and a half, which is odd because when I was looking up, I was on my call, the Wyoming CSU was 66, and that was only touchdown favored towards Wyoming. What are they expecting? A 42-20 win? 48? That's too bad. That's too much, right? Nevada's not that bad, and Boise State's heck sure as heck is not that good this year. Not that, you know what I mean, but relatively speaking. This spread does not represent, I think, this game.
But, D, we've said that about the past game. We said that about Wyoming. We've said that about, you know, San Diego State.
Well, I mean, 22 points, that's too much. Nevada can put up points. We know their defense is terrible on this passing.
No, I totally agree.
But that just seems out of the – I don't get what – and that's improved. It started at 21. It bumped up to 22.5.
Oh.
And so I'm wondering what – it's at Boise. Yeah, I get home field. Nevada can still put up some points. So I don't – because if you think about it, it's not going to be – I think Boise State could win by two touchdowns because even without Aaron Baltazar, they'll be fine with Jay Ajayi. Everybody, Kirby Moore, Matt Miller, those guys catching the ball and everything. But that just seems – when you're going up against two teams that could put up points, it's rarely a blowout unless there's going to be like somebody's plus five in the turnover margin.
Yeah. You know what? This will be my stupid upset pick. Take the points.
for Boise State?
Take the points for Boise State. 22 wow. and a half, cover.
And is this game on CBS Sports Network, I believe? Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the one home game they switched because apparently the ESPN has too many good games this week. And I guess they lucked out because Nevada's... They're 3-3. They can still go to a bowl game. I don't get the difference in spread. It just seems... what's your reason why it would be that high? Logical, not I'm a Boise fan because I hate them.
Oh, I was just going to go with the logical, or the Boise State fan, I hate them. No, but really, honestly, the logical answer for this is I really think over the course of the season, we have seen Boise State's defense improve. I mean, yeah, it's against lesser competition, and yeah, they got, you know, Boise State gave up 40 to Fresno State, but at the same time, I mean, since then, you were talking about a Utah State team. Yeah, a depleted Utah State team. But a Utah State team who, nevertheless, was down 34-10, and they only gave up those last two touchdowns when it really didn't matter.
I get your point. Utah State is a good defense, but I was there, and they were just not into the game after that. After Cody or Chuck Keaton went down. So it's a little bit of both. I would say it's a little bit of both.
You know, because... The teams who they lost to, who they did give, you know, 38 and 41 points to, we've seen Washington. Washington is a legitimately high-powered offense.
Yeah, Fresno Oregon State and Stanford, they got shut down pretty easily against those two teams. But yeah, those are two top 10 teams, pretty much.
Right? Fresno State's offense is prolific. It's textbook. Nevada's offense, yeah, they're textbook. Yeah, they put up points. But at the same time, You have the team, you know, they only put up 31 against Hawaii. They only put up, and really, they only put up 36 against UC Davis. And they put up 45. They put up 45 and 44 against Air Force and San Diego State. But those two defenses are just as bad as each other.
Mm-hmm. I guess, yeah.
And UCLA, for as good as UCLA is, their secondary is good, but it's not, you know, out of the park. I would not rank UCLA's defense in the top 10.
So you're gonna say I'm going to see that Boise's gonna win, but I don't see how it's gonna be over 20 points.
I think it's I will disagree. I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be a I'm going to go ahead and say that it's going to be a 47-24 game.
Okay. We'll see. I I don't put up points. I bet I'm going to put it about 14-point difference. So I'd take, if we're going point-wise, take Nevada, but Boise's still going to come out on top. Because they still need to win that what mountain. Yes, they are in the mountain division. I did memorize them perfectly, so I know what I'm talking about for divisions now. After you laughing at me about Wyoming, they're in the freaking highest point range of the league. Next game.
Anyway.
Quarterback troubles in Utah State versus New Mexico. Ouch. Ouch. Obviously, we know no Chucky Keaton. Sad face. With no Chucky for Heisman, at least in 2013. New Mexico, they should have Cole Gauchy, but they might be starting a junior walk-on quarterback. And that can't be good. Gauchy hurt his, I believe he had a sprain, because Bob Davies channeling his Pac-12 coaching restrictions on injury updates to say, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. You'll know when the team knows or when the TV knows or whatever. You know I'm talking about. Whenever we take the field, essentially, I should say. But Cole Gauchy had a knee injury. Mitchell had a concussion against Mexico State. And I'm looking at the third-string quarterback's name, but they could be down a third-string quarterback. Not likely, but how does that... I know it's a big effect, but if you don't call Gauchy, is Utah State going to actually get this win on the road? Starting a true freshman as well, mind you.
You're starting a true freshman, but on the other hand, New Mexico doesn't have a quarterback.
It seems likely that Gauchy will play, but Davey's not saying much. Or anything, I should say. So let's go back to that question. What if they start their third-string walk-on quarterback? Is it just a laugh fest?
I think this is going to be your derp fest of the day.
Possibly, because here's who it is. I'm pulling it up right now. I'm having it up here eventually, if I could. They actually did have a USA Today photo to post an article for their walk-on quarterback. And it is scrolling, loading, buffering, loading. Whoever the guy is, I think it's Vegas or something. Joe, I don't know. My computer's being weird, but whoever it is, they are not going to do well if they can't have Clayton Mitchum. Even if he's going to start, they'd be fine. It's Vega. It's David Vega, junior walk-on. He did play last week, but to obviously unspectacular results. So let's just forget about New Mexico's side. What do you think about – what is Utah State thinking of starting Daryl Gerritsen, the true freshman?
I think it's just starting to train for Chucky Keaton's replacement. He's a freshman right now. He'll get the starting time. I don't think – I mean, Craig Harrison is doing all right.
He's a pocket guy. He's not going to scramble at all.
No, exactly. And to fit Utah State's style of offense, I think this guy really is – he was recruited under Gary Anderson, under the style of offense that Utah State wants to run. And I'm talking about Matt Wells along with this. He's a product of the system, and I think it's time to implement him in the system.
Yeah, might as well, because here's the thing. Because Keaton likely will be back next season. I say better than 50% chance. And so, make him be the backup. If not, he's already had half the season to start. Even if he doesn't play next season at all, because Keaton's fine and can finish out, he's already had 6 games under the belt and knows what to do, and will have the valuable reps that way. And so that's what they're planning on doing. But after this game, if we're gonna assume that Cole Gauchy's gonna play, this game is much more interesting than if he's not gonna play. For not just the obvious reason you're starting a walk-on, but the way Gauchy, even though he is still struggling to throw the ball, he seems like the perfect guy to run Bob Davies' pistol off option offense.
Right.
And it's hard to tell without knowing if he's going to play for sure. Okay, if Gauchy plays, let's do this. If Gauchy plays, who's going to win?
If Gauchy plays?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I still think Utah State wins this.
Okay. If Gauchy doesn't play, obviously Utah State's still going to win this. Duh.
Yeah.
A moment of the show. If he's going to play. Okay, so this game, it's off the board in 2 places. But there's still a line in the game. Let's play guess the line. What do you think it is right now on the road, or who's going to be favored in this game?
Utah State by 3.
Oh, you are quite wrong.
Really?
Utah State's favored. Double digit. 10.5 points.
Shin? Really?
Yes.
Really?
I know you. Yes, it is. Really? Yeah, as you say it that way. Really? Yes.
Really?
No. I figured 6 points maybe. At the most, 5. Well, I'd say at the most 5 points for Utah State.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and say New Mexico's going to beat the spread here.
I think they could win as well because I guess I know Matt Wells and their defensive staff has looked at the UTSA game, the Pitt game. All it takes, it sounds simple, but it's obviously not. If you can stop any run up the middle and those tailback dives, you're going to win the game. Utah State, with Kyle Farakley and the Vigil brothers back there, they have the speed to get to the outside. If they can get their defensive tackles and linemen on there to stuff the middle, they'll just snuff out the run. And if they can make New Mexico one-dimensional, even with Colgauchy, a one-dimensional, which is really, that's even less than one-dimensional because he's not going to throw. If you can't run up the middle, you take away half of their rushing offense, which is, 85% of their play calling anyways. I think Utah State will win regardless. I'm kind of agreeing with you. But I think if Gauchy plays, it'll be really close. So that's kind of where I'm at. Is that a good enough explanation for everybody?
Yeah. Well,
does that satisfy your need to know about this game?
Pretty much, right?
Travis Van Leeuwen. Wide receiver. Yeah, so let's move on. So I'm going to say Utah State's going to win. They're going to be 4-4 and be on the way to a bowl game. Final game. Do you want to make the announcement?
I will.
Go for it.
Unless you want to, because you're the one who actually got the email.
You're good. Go for it. Okay. UNLV Fresno State, 10 p.m. Eastern. Not on traditional television.
No. And it's not on the Mountain West Network either.
Well, it technically is still, yes.
Well, it technically is still. Yes, yes, it is.
But that's not where you want to watch the game.
No, you do not want to watch the game on the Mountain West Network, unless you do. But rather, enjoy the game and watch it on our very own Mountain West Connection website. Live, legal. We're going to be broadcasting the game live, courtesy of Campus Insiders.
And for those who are wondering, it is not Chris and I doing commentating on the game. That is not us.
No. Although that would be awesome.
Yeah, there will be true professionals, more professional than us, which is not saying much. It's just they're cool. They send us the email and say, hey, you want to broadcast the game? Who's going to say no to that? This could be not just a hype because we're going to have the game on, but this could be a pretty good, I say it's going to be an offensive scoring game, easily, because we know what Fresno can do. And then UNLV, are they going to pull upset? Are they going to? They're on a 4-game winning streak, folks.
What's the spread here? I'm going to go ahead and guess the spread right now. It's Fresno State minus 13.
Let me grab it here. You're one step ahead of me here.
Maybe
more because I don't have it up anymore. Just a second. I'll get it. But ahead.
I'm saying this. So both these teams have the ability to score points. I don't think UNLV can pull the upset here. But, I mean, I think it's going to be closer than what people expected. And it's one of those games that, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch. And when you're in a located community such as our blog community here, where we have a whole bunch of people who are dedicated Fresno State and dedicated UNLV fans, you can imagine, like, what kind of heat and what kind of trash talking could possibly be on the site Saturday night. I mean, this could be a lot of fun to watch all together. And I know I'm probably overhyping what, you know, should be kind of a very simple headbed code. But this is actually a really cool thing, not only just for the Mountain West Connection, but also for SB Nation possibly looking towards the future.
Correct, because they've had some – we do a lot of – Bud Elliott does a lot of good stuff for high school recruiting, and there's a few big-time games in South Florida because he's kind of an area for Florida State guy that they've allowed us the same type of situation. Here's the code. Watch the game here. I don't know how many people watch or whatever, but you get a very good high school – people like recruiting, people like high school. You look on YouTube, like any time we do a recruiting post, those can be one of the highest rated ones. So we've gotten a few things here and there about not just us broadcasting games. But back to the spread, I have it up here. What do you think the if you said before, I completely spaced on looking it up.
I said Fresno State is a minus 13.
Not even close.
Really? Higher or lower?
Lower, really? Come on, you should know it's not lower if I say not even close.
Well, you know, there was hope.
It's a home game. It's in the Valley, so it's not in Vegas.
Yeah. Let's say Fresno State by like 25.
Close. 24.5.
24.5.
Okay. And it's increased from 21. However, your entertainment, they Vegas does thoroughly expect us to be entertained with a 74-point over-under.
Oh, my goodness. So,
yes.
So I'm going to totally get off topic real quick.
Go for it.
But you obviously read that Baylor-Oregon National Championship or bowl game setup.
I did a while ago, yeah.
Okay, and did you see like what the probable over-under spread for that game would be?
I don't recall, but I'd say 100.
It was 99 points on an over-under. So, which is, okay, so let's get this straight. Anything over 60?
We've already had also three games we've had been over 60. Even CSU Wyoming has been over 60.
Yeah. Anything that's over 60 is considered a high-powered offensive game.
Yes.
So, that being said, you know, this game set at 74, I mean, and 25 at
50. You're thinking a 50 to 25 game.
This is a 50 to 25 game, which, I mean, I said that there were going to be points scored.
I could see that. I could see Vegas getting more than that.
Yeah, no, totally. I could see it. I could see this. I mean, I could see this easily taking the over on here. I could easily see, like, Fresno State getting in those 50s, but UNLV, like, scoring 35 or 42 points, making it closer than they probably ever should.
Because, I'd say, do you think okay, we'll get back to the game as well, because Bobby Houck's great decision to go back to Caleb Perry and has opened up Devontae Davis and Tim Cornette so they can do their things. They have Marcus Sullivan back. Defense is, you know, still shaky, but they could put up points. Is he going to be coach of the year if they get to a bowl game?
Yes.
Who would you pick? Sure. Who would you pick, a 6-6 Bobby Houck or a 12-0 BCS-bound Tim DeRuiter at Fresno State?
No, screw Tim DeRuiter because he helped win a share of the conference title last year. A 6-6 Bobby Houck should totally win Coach of the Year.
Even over, okay, I mean, what about Dave Christensen? Say 9-3, I guess, 8-4 Dave Christensen over back as well. No. It was pretty bad last year.
No. You don't understand.
Is this a historic vote for him because of the decades-long suffering of Vegas fans?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Anybody who knows the futility of UNLV football, me personally as well, if UNLV hits 6-6 and makes a bowl game, this is a huge step forward. This is what they wanted out of Bobby Houck year one.
To the Montana staff.
This is making strides. I don't think we'll ever see, you know, UNLV compete for, you know, a West Division conference championship spot, but
I could see, not to look at, but next year they have Heron back, they have Davis still. Fresno loses everybody, David Fellis isn't there, Hawaii's still rebuilding. UNLV, Nevada, or San Diego State could be the top three out west next year. Scary to say, but think about it. If you think really quick, not that we would do that, but you see what I'm saying? Fresno loses everybody. Luis, Derek Carr's everything. David Fells is gone, and they're already disappointing. Hawaii's no good. San Diego State is their biggest challenger in Nevada.
Okay, we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
I'm just saying it's not, at this moment, if they continue this trajectory and do at least maybe six wins, it's not out of the question they could be competitive.
But to answer your question, a 6-6 Bobby Houck team, a 6-6 UNLV team, Bobby Houck should win Coach of the Year. Going back to this game, I am definitely going to say it's going to be like 52-37 or 52-42. Don't take the points on Fresno's not covering the spread.
I don't, unless there's a lot of turnovers and their defense hasn't been as good as last year. Again, in terms of Philip Thomas, who had eight picks last season, they can do some damage. But the only way it's going to be a huge blow is if UNLV goes back to what they did versus Minnesota. Okay, here's I think special teams. Fresno State has some decent special teams. If they block a punt, that's the only way I can think it could be a blowout this game. If they do what Minnesota did, get some special teams, or not fluky, but non-traditional points.
Look, this is all I'm saying. They are 103rd in the nation, Fresno State is, in scoring defense.
Yeah, they're not good.
And that is with the 61-14 win over Idaho.
That's pretty crappy. That is not good.
UNLV is going to... Look, they almost lost to Hawaii. They almost lost to Boise State. Both of those were fourth down situations. Mm-hmm. They barely
Rutgers overtime.
They allowed Cal Poly back in the game and basically had to shut them out in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game. The only team that they fully dominated was Idaho, but Idaho sucks.
Idaho is awful.
They really suck. I mean, we're talking Temple. I mean, they beat Temple, but it wasn't...
How did that happen again? 26-24, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing. Here's where the difference could be in this game. It could be comes with... does everybody know who Isaiah Bruce is? Am I correct on that? Is that a familiar name?
Yes.
Wide receiver. No, he's a wide receiver. He has two punt returns for touchdowns. So that's something that could be the difference. And also they have... Where is it here? Dylan Root. I'm not too familiar with him, but he has averages 25 yards per kickoff return. Excuse me. Isaiah Bruce has two punt returns, which is more... It's so difficult, whatever, kick punt returns. But he has two touchdowns and punt returns on 11 returns. So he's only had 11 returns, two touchdowns. Dylan Root averages 25 yards per kickoff return. So that I think that... Not that there'll be a difference, but that could be a difference from being a 14 to 17 point game to being a 24 to 30 point victory for Fresno State.
Right.
And so
but I think every aspect of UNLV football has improved as the season has progressed from those first two games as well.
Yeah. And as for anything, turnover margin wise, they're both pretty much UNLV is plus one, Fresno is zero, nothing, plus minus, nothing there. So there'll be points because, as I like to recall, Daron Thomas was named the Mountain West Preseason Player of the Year.
Yeah.
And so let's just go. Okay, at this game, I'd say, like I said, I'm with you. Fresno's going to win, not going to cover. It'll take some extreme circumstances to cover, but let's move on really quick. That was the last game. We're going to, even though this is an hour show, even though we said it wouldn't be. Oh, crap, we just hit the hour mark. Oh, jeez. Really quick, there's the Phil Steele midseason All Mountain West team. Guess who did not make the team?
Who did I just mention?
Oh, actually,
really?
No, I looked at it wrong. Crap. He made the first team. I thought I skipped over his name. How does Fresno State have two defensive backs in the first team?
I don't know.
LJ Jones.
I think we've established that Phil Steele does not know what he's talking about this year.
As of recently, he's been interesting. I thought I saw Daron's not on there, but he's actually.
He ranked USC in his top five preseason.
There are some people who are high in USC, but that's a bit much. And I think also Texas.
And Texas, that's right.
All right, so really quick, we know who the first team quarterback is. Who do you think was the second team quarterback? Just to kind of...
Brett Smith.
Chucky Keaton.
Despite going down with injury?
Well, he played half the year. This is the midseason, obviously, not projecting player of the year. Or whatever, not much team.
Whatever.
I just brought that up really quick. I looked at it yesterday and I saw Daron Smith out there, and then I go to him like, oh crap, he's there. It's that blur thing I want to talk about, but there's no more to talk about. I brought that up really quick. But I like to remind people that he was named the defensive player of the year, and their secondary is just awful. So do you have any tidbits to add to the show? Wyoming is wearing special state flag uniforms on the steamboat this weekend. Third time they're wearing it.
Yes. So now, this is just an interesting comment that was brought up, and this was over at EDSBS earlier. When I mentioned that we're hosting the Fresno State UNLV game, there is a realization that we are now, you know, only a few steps short of SB Nation, signing a contract with the MAC to host MAC games.
Of course.
Which,
next step, right?
If you think about Dan Rubenstein or even Spencer Hall as in Rubenstein,
yes.
Or Spencer Hall as announcers for a MAC game.
MAC game? MAC-tioning?
MAC-tion. I just think about it.
Listen to the EDSBS podcast with Ryan or Celebrity Hot Tub, Jason and Spencer. So that could be the game. You could be listening to them on the couch with that happening. Am I too? Are we getting too ahead of ourselves on this? Maybe.
Totally.
Of course.
It's a one time thing. I mean, if they like us, they might do it later. But you know.
They want people to view their game, and we have a.
We have a audience. Website.
Okay, we have even better. Lowest standard. We have a website. We have a non.blogspot, non.wordpress.
Would you say that we are a major Mountain West website?
We are the major Mountain
West. We are the Mountain West website. That is not the Mountain West Conference website.
Outside of getting their interviews and video, nice production they do, there's nobody else but us. And I feel bad because I slacked off the past week and a half, but we're still doing well enough. So, yes, we are the location, and that location is mwcconnection.com. Check us out. We have all the games this weekend, live threads, chats. We'll have more analysis. We're not going to talk about hoops on the podcast. Well, at least not this particular one, but that's around the corner. And I got nothing else to add, just that we got a game on our site. We have, I would say, okay, if you had one game to pick this weekend, really quick, what game would you want to go to in person? And you can't pick, I've just realized that's a dumb question.
I can't pick Boise State, Nevada.
I just realized, like, this is the worst week to ask that question.
Fine. I would pick Fresno State, UNLV, because I quite literally am at 4 hours away that I could drive.
There you go. Excellent. So that's all I got for tonight. So, yeah, like I said, check out our website, mwcconnection.com. Same name on Twitter, mwcconnection. Everybody, I hope you liked our hour-long show with only four games to talk about. So, and we will have a recap show this week, so everybody enjoy the games this weekend.